To the show. We're here today with Nicoletta Christodoulou. Hello there, good to see you.
Hello Holger, good to see you too.
And good to hear you too for our listeners. We're very happy you could make it today. And I think mostly we'll be talking about oral history today. Now, this was actually the discipline I had in mind when I chose the title for the show. But we've broadened the spectrum, but I still think it is something that is at the core of it. But before we get into these heavy discussions, perhaps, Nicoletta, you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
First of all, thanks for inviting me. It's my pleasure being here with you. And it's always a pleasure to talk about the project. What shall I say about myself? About my, education, who I am, and...
Mm-hmm.
So my whole education is in the field of education, actually. I graduated from the University of Cyprus, where I earned my bachelor's degree in pre-primary school education. I worked as a kindergarten teacher for a while, and then I went to the USA where I got my for my graduate studies. I got my master's in instructional leadership, and then my PhD in curriculum studies and instruction. And that was at the University of Illinois at Chicago. So I'm very into that. I'm very into, like, I love academia. And now I currently have a position at the at Frederick University.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lecturer
here in
there,
Nicosia. Mm-hmm.
Here in Nicosia, exactly. And so I love working. I can say, unfortunately, maybe I am a workaholic. I think it's good sometimes. But I also love exercising.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much work without exercise. I think it's very unhealthy. So, and of course, I love being with people. I cannot not like that, since I am, like, on a daily, I'm daily with many people, students or colleagues. And, but I also like spending, I like spending quality time with people, but I also like spending time by myself as
mm-hmm.
well. You know, it helps me think and reflect on my day and my experiences.
You said you like exercising. I think there's one particular sport you like very much, and that is bicycle riding, right?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Exactly.
Cycling is something, because if one looks at your Facebook page, I think there's more pictures of you on bikes than without.
Exactly. But, you know, now in the summer, I switched that with swimming.
Right.
It's very difficult to cycle in the summer.
Yeah, in Cyprus for sure, yes.
Yes.
All right, great. You also brought a wonderful playlist with you. I'm very excited about this. And I'm going to play my favorite right away. I hope you don't mind. It's a song, I was just saying that before we got into the studio, that I hadn't thought of for a long, long time, but it is one that I liked very, very much. It had just been forgotten, and you just brought it up with your playlist. So we're going to go to Pavlov's Dog and Julia. After that, we're going to have, the next one, we're going to have a double with Nora Jones and Come Away With Me.
Julia, you've said the stars.
back again with Voices from Within. And we have Nicoleta Christodoulou with us today. She told us a little bit about herself already, and we heard that she loves exercise and especially being on the bike, and that she has a background in education and working at Frederick and looking after various projects. And the project that we're really going to talk about today is the project that's called Living Memory. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So yes, that was a funded project by the Research Promotion Foundation, the Cyprus Foundation, and it was for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
We collected interviews.
Mm-hmm.
We collected the stories using interviews of about 50 people from the various communities of Cyprus, Greek Cypriots, Turkish Cypriots, and also the Maronites and Armenians. About we focused on the events of life experiences of people in 1960 through 1974.
Mm-hmm.
People were free to talk to us about anything they felt like when they heard, you know, those particular years, that particular era. So we collected the interviews. We collected the stories, and the purpose was to preserve the stories and keep them in an archive for people, other people, students, researchers, teachers, the public, to be able to access them. The main idea was to have another way, an alternative way of learning about history.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the official history textbooks. So, and this is what oral history is about. It gives, it acknowledges that people's stories are also important. How people experience things, what they feel, and how they interpret things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we document this in oral history. And it's in addition to any official history that exists.
Right, okay. And very, very important point. It's not something that tries to substitute the historiography as we know it, but rather it is something that is trying to supplement it. Because when you look back at the history of oral history research, there had been quite some fights between quote-unquote historians and oral historians about exactly these issues. And there are some issues, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. What would interest me is though, how did you come up with the idea? Why did you think that this was a worthwhile project to do? What was the process there?
Well, I always I believe in the power of stories, and you know, like the I always heard the stories of my parents and of my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
About their village Labitos. They come from Labitos in Kyrenia, so they are refugees. So I was born after 1974.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always hearing those stories and how beautiful the village is. And then together with the words, there's also all this emotion and facial expressions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I always wanted to do something with that, because for me that was very powerful. And it was part also of my education. To make the long story short, it is part of me. And I wanted also to give the chance and opportunity to other people talk about their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to hear and learn from other people as well about their stories. I would carry that for a long time with me, and I didn't know what to do about that. At the University of Illinois at Chicago, I met Bill Ayers. He was my professor. I took with him a couple of classes. And so we had that idea after I finished my graduate studies that he suggested, and I heard for the first time the word oral history.
Mm-hmm.
But we could that was the initial idea. We put under this the umbrella of oral history.
Yeah.
This project to collect the stories of many people, because oral history. The other thing with oral history is that you need the voices of many people, not just one person.
Mm. And Bill Ayers himself, of course, is a very interesting person, isn't he? His background. Do you want to say a couple of words about that, maybe? Because I think he is a very, very, in many ways, a role model when it comes to living what you teach.
Exactly. Yes, he is a role model for this. Bill Ayers, he is a very interesting person, and he's in education. He has retired now, but he's a professor of education,
mm-hmm.
and he was at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And he is an activist. Back in 1960s, I think, when the Vietnam War era was, Bill Ayers was one of the persons who initiated the movement against the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Against the Vietnam War. So he was opposing the USA government's actions, like, get into war with Vietnam. They had the Weather Underground movement, and so anyway, eventually that movement at the end became, I think, started bombing some governmental buildings. But by that point, Bill Ayers was out of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
But because of his action, because of that activity of Bill Ayers and that involvement. During the presidential era, before the elections,
yeah.
The first round of the elections, he was the name that was used a lot against Barack Obama to turn the public opinion against Barack Obama because
they were associated. Yeah,
exactly. They had some kind of connection, the two of them.
Yeah, I guess they also had a Chicago background, both of them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was their Chicago background. So, yes, it was in the newspapers. Bill Ayers was called as the bombist friend of Obama, something like that.
Right. Okay. And he was on the island for the project. He came several times, didn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly. He came here several times. He came one time for a lecture that was before the project.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was in 2009, and the lecture was at the Frederick University, and then he came three more times for the project, staying here for about a month each time.
Yeah, I also had the chance to meet him and work with him a little bit on that project, and it was just a wonderful experience to have him here.
Exactly.
I think that was great. Yeah.
And you attended the workshop series. The
right,
seminar
indeed,
series.
Yes. Because I was working, of course, I was working on something similar at the same time, also an oral history project. We didn't know about each other at the time, and this is how we made contact. It's quite interesting, though, that, and it isn't just Nicoletta and I who are working on these things, but there are other groups as well, other NGOs, other individuals, other university departments who are working on these things, and so they are happening simultaneously, but people oftentimes do not know from each other. No matter how well we are usually connected on social networks, sometimes information slips through as well. And this is one of the reasons why we are collaborating on a publication that's coming out with the University of Nicosia Press later on this year, where we're actually trying to talk about and collate most of the oral history research that has been going on the island, because that should be a good resource for further researchers. And since you are in education, of course, you think about the next generation and what kind of a resource this could be. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back, but first let's have some more music. We'll have Nikki and the Dove with Tomorrow and Magic Love with Bent.
Thank you.
So that was, of course, somebody completely different. This was Lana Del Rey with Blue Jeans. We seem to have a little bit of a computer problem here. It's giving me songs that sometimes only come later, so I apologize for that. It's going to be a bit of a wonder bag from now on. We'll see what we'll have. The good thing is we're still on Nicoleta Hussidolo's playlist, who's with us today, and I think that's a positive thing. Right. Yeah, we were talking about the project that you were running, Living Memory, with interviews of Cypriots from all kinds of backgrounds about the years, roughly the 1960s and up until 1974. All right. You told us a little bit about why you were doing it, and I think you wanted to stress a little bit more the connection between your project, the Oral History Project, and education.
We can qualify this a little bit. I think textbooks are changing as well. Cyprus might be a special issue, but if you look at textbooks that come out in Western countries and in the US as well, in Australia, I think people are taking that on board. And I've seen several textbooks that actually have links to archives, actually, as the one that you have created and that I did with my Sharp project. So they are changing a little bit. I think, you know, there's new generations of historians, of course, who understand that it is a supplement and not an opponent to fight the oral history movement. So I think it is changing a little bit, but you're right.
Yes.
The traditional textbooks, of course, were not able, or perhaps were not even willing to treat such issues.
They do not allow for any kind of thinking or reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think it's important. It's because one important thing with history is like to build our historical consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And become historical aware. And what it means, what does history mean? And looking to the future, to me it means that how do we learn from history so that we have,
yeah,
a better future? So if history is only transmission, it doesn't help. Like,
history, of course, has plenty of angles, and history is certainly one of them. Education, as you mentioned, is another one, but it also goes into culture research, perhaps a corner that I'm more familiar with. It goes into the way we interact with other people, with other groups, and it also goes into technological matters. One of the big things that is being discussed right now in Europe is the right to forget in respect to the internet. What happens with all this data that is up there? Perhaps you know, some of this data, or the owners of some of the data, owners in quotation marks here, are not happy with those things being up there. So these are also technological issues, and we'll talk about how you solve them for your project after the next two songs. As I said before, we're not quite sure when I push a button here what comes out. I think it's going to be Labyrinth with Beneath Your and Patricia Kaas with And Now, Ladies and Gentlemen. Let's see if this works.
Thank you.
Was the Go Time project with Epoca. The previous one, the computer played, but this one was different.
We'll see how the next two go. Like I said, it's a bag of wonders, so we'll see. We're here with Nicoleta Christodoulou and talking about the Living Memory Project. Now, we've discussed a little bit already about the connection between the Oral History Project and education. How did this work practically then? How did you go about getting your interviewees, getting your interviewers, and setting the process rolling?
So we started actually, we wanted a random sample.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up being mostly, but you know, each person we would interview, then he or she would direct us to somebody else.
All right. So it was a snowball system then,
exactly,
is it?
Okay. It was a snowball system.
Right.
And I have to admit that in regards to the Turkish Cypriot community, we've mm-hmm. had some difficulties like establishing trust and getting people to talk to us. And I would say it was not difficult to get people to be interviewed and have them share their stories with us. What was difficult was to find diverse perspectives. So most of the Turkish Cypriots, we got more or less, we're having the same political, I would say, views.
Mm-hmm.
And for which comes down to like why that they wanted to talk to us.
Right. So we see already here that the sample and the sampling process is very, very important. Especially
exactly.
since you work on the statistics later on to
exactly.
extricate data. So it's very, very important how you set it up. I'm pushing you along a little bit because we're running out of time. That's why. Now, can you tell us maybe one of your perhaps strongest impressions from the project that you took with you from the project that touched you personally, perhaps?
Yes, what touched me personally was like the. Like hearing people really, put, you know, making explicit their feelings and their thoughts and all the pain they suffered
mm-hmm.
going through
mm-hmm.
this event. For instance, people who have, like there was this woman whose husband is a missing person. And it was heartbreaking to hear her telling me, you know, all these years that she still waits, like for her husband. And but going to the place where they would bring each, like back in that era, they would bring like missing persons, like
mm-hmm.
in the bus,
mm-hmm.
and then waiting to see him. But then that never happened. Or people hearing about the tortures people suffered. Also, like the other thing was that, you know, what I'm thinking about is how can people do bad things to each other, especially when they don't have major differences.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they may have some differences, like socially or politically constructed, but
but not on a personal level, perhaps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then how do they allow themselves
to
become violent or stop thinking critically?
Be instrumentalized.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's also a very good warning there for us and also for our listeners. And I'm afraid we're going to have to stop here. Nicoleta, thank you very, very much for coming in. We've run out of time. I do apologize for the musical problems.